Tonight to 2 Samuel chapter 13. Tonight we come to something in the Word of God that pertains to all of us. Though the story is scandalous and obscene, what was in the perpetrator's heart that our story concerns is in all of our hearts. Tonight we come to the story of Amnon's abuse of his stepsister, Tamar. And the title of tonight's message is "The Wages of Lust is Misery." Now, before we condemn Amnon and think that he's in some special category, of course he is in some sense, but in another sense, there is a monster of iniquity. There is a, I should say, monstrous desires of iniquity within all of us. And what Amnon gave his heart to is idolatry. One of the reformers, I believe it was John Calvin, that said, "Our heart is an idol-making factory." And that doesn't cease when you come to know Christ. Otherwise, Paul would not have had to say, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" The temptation for idolatry and lust and sinful desires is always there. The difference for the Christian is sin can no longer dominate his life. Aren't you glad for that? Because in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, we read that we're sealed, we're imprinted with the stamp of holiness, with the earnest of our inheritance, the Holy Spirit. This is an evidence that we will most definitely inherit eternal life in heaven. And that evidence is seen in a holy life. It doesn't mean that we don't fall into sin. We don't become sinless, but we do sin less, don't we? And because of God's wonderful gift to us in the cross of Jesus Christ, we can have the gift of His Holy Spirit. Now, obviously, Amnon was not a regenerate man. He was totally consumed with his idol. And we're going to be reading about this in 2 Samuel chapter 13 in a moment. But I believe that all mankind is blind until they come to know Jesus Christ. Remember what Isaiah articulated in Isaiah 6? He said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." In other words, I see the mountain of my sin and all of the earth's sin. Why? Because mine eyes have what? Seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And therefore, we cannot live the way we used to live. We live in the face of God now. We live in the presence of God now. Hebrews tells us, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, that all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." And that's the way we live. Well, Amnon, we're going to find, sold his soul for a moment of pleasure, and he lost his life. So let's, before we begin, just focus on this one thing. And that is everything that we live for today, everything that we live in, all of the food, the entertainment, the work, the family, the things that our lives, our daily lives, because they're earthly, these things that pertain to us every single day, to remember that these things are just shadows. These things are just gifts from the Father. And we are not to find our rest in them. We are not to find our satisfaction in them. God is the end and the goal and the substance of who we are seeking for. And so if we seek after the things of this world, then we will sink into quicksand. But if we seek God and His Son, Jesus Christ, then our feet will be founded on the rock, and when the waves and the winds blow, there will be no fall. We'll stand because Christ is who we were created to seek. And it's just as I prayed earlier, It's His sinlessness for our sin. It's His worthiness for our shame. It's His riches for our poverty. Amnon did not understand this. He did not seek the Lord in his life. And part of it was a consequence of David's sin. David sinned wickedly and he got that idol of lust in his heart. And the Lord told David through Nathan, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house." And here we have the very next chapter. Amnon takes advantage of Tamar and is eventually put to death by Absalom. Let's read 2 Samuel 13, verses 1 through 29. Let's stand together. "And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto Amnon, 'Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me?' And Amnon said unto him, 'I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister.' And Jonadab said unto him, 'Lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand.' So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, 'I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand.' Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, 'Go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat.' So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him. But he refused to eat. And Amnon said, Have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, 'Bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand.' And Tamar took the cakes which she had made, and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, 'Come, lie with me, my sister.' And she answered him, 'Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit, Amnon would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, 'Arise, be gone.' And she said unto him, 'There is no cause, this evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me.' But he would not hearken unto her. And then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, 'Put now this woman out from me and bolt the door after her.' And she had a garment of diverse colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins apparelled. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her, and Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of diverse colors that was on her, and laid her hand on her head and went on crying." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you have revealed to us that the wages of sin is misery. We thank you, God, that you have given us eyes to see, that the things of this world so quickly pass away, and that what you have given to us is a gift from you and to be used for your glory. But, O Lord, if we defy you and defy your law, there is nothing reserved for us but misery. Lord, please teach us today how we must guard our heart and how we must flee from every idol that this world wants us to worship and every idol that our heart is tempted with. Keep your people pure and help us to see. Help us to see the misery and the profound ugliness of sin and idolatry. And Lord, purify your people with your word tonight, and by your Spirit, let us be the tabernacle of God. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What a sad chapter in David's life. We talk about Amnon, but we must remember that Amnon is David's firstborn son and heir to the throne of Israel. And because of David's sin, we find a propensity that has been stirred up in David's family that will eventually bring the sword. The sword to both Amnon. First, Absalom will kill Amnon for his dastardly sin, and then Absalom will lose his life. Oh, the wages of sin is death, and death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. And the wages of sin is death even in this life. There are such wicked and horrible consequences to sin. And all because a man put his eye on an object of desire that he ought not have done. First it was David and then Amnon. Amnon lusted after Tamar. He said he loved her, but we know that love seeks not her own. This is not love at all. These are the words that Amnon used himself, and so Scripture characterizes him with his own words. But this is not love. This is a lust which is insatiable, and all lust is insatiable. By that I mean that it can never be satisfied. Because our hearts were not meant to be satisfied with anything in this world. Our hearts were meant to be satisfied in Jesus Christ alone. And so we read in verse 1 that it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. The word for Tamar, the name, means palm tree or glorious creature. Tamar, let's understand, was a princess in Israel. And it says that Amnon loved Tamar. But to love someone, you must know them. Let's understand what lust does in our heart, and that the claws of lust are upon every object in this world. And if we set our affections on anything in this world, the lust's claws will kidnap our hearts. Let's remember that Amnon set his heart on Tamar for her beauty, because he didn't have contact with her. Remember, she was one of the king's virgin daughters. She was unmarried and she was single. And how did he know this? Because she wore a dress of many colors. This was reserved for the king's daughters who were unmarried. Now, as I said, Amnon did not know Tamar at all, because he was separated from her. He could not even eat with her. The king's daughters were protected. And so what was it that drove Amnon to quote-unquote love her or to lust after her? It was her beauty alone. And everything else that he knew about Tamar took place in his own defiled imagination. Oh, what a curse our sinful nature is. And if we are to give 1 second to fantasies, to wicked imaginations. First of all, let's remember that wicked imaginations are fiction. They are fiction. And they will enslave a person. So many times, I find this happens in marriage. You get married and you think that the person that you married is perfect. And your wife thinks you're perfect, right? And you begin to daydream about that person that is perfect. And what you're doing is you're missing out on the person that God gave you. Because the person that is perfect doesn't exist. It's a figment of your imagination, and it's idolatry and it's lust. And so we must throw out vain imaginations on perfect people, imagining perfect circumstances. Oh, if it were just this way, there must be someone out there that it's just like this that will fit my fancy. It's idolatry. It's the very core of every sin that we commit. God tells us to draw nigh to Him, and He will draw nigh to us. God is the only one that can satisfy the very longing of our heart. Your spouse, if you're married, cannot satisfy you. If you're single and you're daydreaming about marriage, don't let that go too far. Because you may get married and it may be a curse for you. It may be. People make horrible decisions when it comes to marriage. Am I making this up or is it true? It's true. Now, none of you are in that situation. So we have free marriage counseling here, by the way, if you need it. But let's get our eyes on Christ. And even if you are in a difficult marriage, let's remember this. God, if He can change you, He can change anybody. Amen? So, Amnon had his fancy on something that didn't even exist. He didn't know Tamar. He just lusted after her beauty. Let's understand also that lust can only give temporary satisfaction. There is pleasure in sin for what? It's only for a season. But there are pleasures at God's right hand for how long? Forevermore. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So if you're seeking to be pleased and satisfied by anything in this world, any idol, whatever it may be, you're looking in the wrong place. True fulfillment comes by eating the bread of life, by taking Christ. Lust is also enslaving. Turn over to James chapter 1 in verses 14 and 15. James chapter 1, keep your place in 2 Samuel 13. But James chapter 1 tells us how deadly and enslaving lust is. And when I speak of lust, I don't just mean intimacy. I don't just mean what takes place in secret. I'm talking about any kind of wicked desire that we go after. And that's the very way that James speaks of lust in this passage. He's not just simply speaking of what should be reserved for marriage, but he's speaking of all kinds of desires. He says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. He's lured. He's tempted. Or she is tempted. Then when lust hath conceived, that is, when you give a second thought to it and you give your heart to that temptation, it conceives. Now you may not see it at first, but it conceives. It may be small. It may be unnoticeable. It may be under the radar, but it conceives. And now, sin is on its way in your life. It brings forth sin. Lust always brings forth sin. You give a second thought. You give your heart to that temptation, that enticement. It's going to bring forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, kills you. It can kill you eternally. Satan was enticed with his own glory, and he gave a second thought to it. And he said, I will be like the Most High. And sin, when it was finished, killed Satan, didn't it? And he was cast out of heaven, and all those who followed him. And so sin is enslaving. Once you give your heart to it, it's a taskmaster, and it will not be satisfied until it brings forth sin. In fact, we see this, how it enslaved Amnon. Look at verse 2, back in 2 Samuel chapter 13. Look how this lust enslaved Amnon. Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, and she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Remember, she was in separate quarters. He couldn't even eat with her. There was very little interaction. And so all he could do was fantasize about Tamar, and these fantasies made him sick because there was no fulfillment. Listen, let me encourage all of us here to keep our hearts pure. Peter says to gird up the loins of your mind. You know, we don't dress like they used to back then, but men even would wear flowing garments, and they could easily get caught. Have you ever been walking by something and got caught on something and rip, and you're stuck? You're not going anywhere. That's what your thoughts do to you. You're just minding your own business, and bam, you're thinking in a wrong direction. And Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind, because those things will bring you to destruction. Those fantasies. As soon as you catch yourself sinning in your heart, stop it. Or even the temptation to sin, stop it. Because it'll only bring you to destruction. It'll catch you. It'll freeze you. It'll enslave you. Just like it enslaved Amnon. Let's understand also that lust is to be avoided because of this at all costs. When God says no to something, it will never make you happy to pursue it. Amen? When God says no, it will never make you happy, no matter how many lies the world says about it. You'll be satisfied for this or that. This thing will come out and tempt you. And if you just have this, you'll be happy. God has told us to seek Him first, to hunger and thirst after Him. And so if God says no to something, it'll never make you happy to pursue it. Think about what David said in Psalm 101 and verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. The word wicked is the Hebrew word for Belial. I will set no satanic thing before mine eyes. Now remember that Satan is an angel of light. So often the things that are most dangerous are the most cunning and deceptive. Remember the serpent in the garden? He was cunning. He was deceptive. And that is how all sin is. It looks like it will be so satisfying. Remember, I will not set these things before mine eyes. If there's something that tempts you, that's cunning, that seems to satisfy you for a season, and it keeps you from God, then avoid it at all costs. I've had to do that in my life, especially with media. Some of you that didn't grow up with media, maybe you don't have that temptation. I have to cut myself almost off from almost all media because I can't handle it. And even though it may not be sinful, if I waste my time on something that is good but it is not the best, then I'm still sinning, aren't I? 2 Timothy speaks very clearly, especially about unclean lusts. He says, Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts. And how do we know those are unclean? Because they're contrasted with good things. He says, flee also youthful lusts, but on the other hand, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Spend time with other Christians. And if you want to put media in your mind, make sure that the great majority of it comes from sources of people that love Christ. Am I saying that all media that does not originate from Christianity is wrong? No, but in many cases, we don't need it, do we? And we can do without it. I'm not saying that it's wrong. Certainly you have liberty, but be careful, be very careful. Paul says plainly about these ungodly desires in 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee fornication. Think about Joseph. How he fled from Potiphar's wife. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Because this is a passage of Scripture that we all ought to have our hearts in. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Lust is so deadly. We find that the will of God is not that we would give our hearts to lust, but that we would give our hearts to holiness. Paul says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess or how to control his vessel, his body, in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, passion, unbridled passion, even as the Gentiles, even those who are lost and without Christ, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud or steal from his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto unholiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. You know, when I think about the billboards that are put up with the figures of women on them, and I grieve. Obviously, I turn away as quickly as possible, and then I grieve for the woman who is pictured there. Who is her father? Who are her brothers? And why is someone prostituting her image? They're selling what is absolutely priceless. What should be reserved for the husband, for marriage, which is a picture of Christ and the church. But this world takes that which is so precious and pimps it out. What is fornication? Fornication is taking the precious gift of intimacy that is reserved for marriage and squandering it for one's own self-gratification. One's purity is to be reserved for one person on planet Earth, the person that God would have you to marry. It's not to be given to anyone but the person you have already vowed your entire life to before God and before witnesses. You say, well, you know, it's okay because I'm going to get married. I say you're not married until you vowed your life to that person before God and witnesses. And if you touch the other person in an inappropriate way, then you defile God's holy commandment. We know that the marriage bed is undefiled, but whoremongers, God will judge. And I say all of that to warn you, to warn all of us, because we are all susceptible in this wicked world, to warn us that these things that God tells us no about, He tells us no for a reason. They will never satisfy us. Lust is insatiable. It cannot be satisfied. It can only give you a greater and greater and greater appetite that will never be fulfilled. Part of what hell is that all of those in hell will have an appetite that rages and will never, never be satisfied. Paul says it is better to marry than to burn. But in hell, the burning is not only torment from fire, but it is also the burning of their lusts in their heart. It is their very sin that sinks them into hell. And it is the burning lust that will torment them outside of the torment of the fire. Instead of seeking after anything in this world, let us do what Jesus said. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I'm telling you that when I sought a person to marry, I didn't seek for Jill. I didn't seek for anyone. I sought Christ. And when I saw Jill, I saw that she loved Christ. And so I sought after her. Not for her personally, but because of her love for Christ. You see? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek God and everything else. Everything else will take care of itself. Do you think I could have picked Joe out on Harmony, eHarmony or whatever it is, .com? You know, there's so many things that you can't even know about a person that they can shift and lie about on whatever profile that they have. But when you seek God, He knows the heart of the person. Do you think you're going to take the place of God by seeking a spouse and finding out that very person you're going to interview? You don't know their heart. You can't know their heart from a profile. You can't know them. But God knows them. And if you seek God first and His righteousness, all the things that you worry about, that's the context, will be added unto you. Isn't that encouraging? And so, the things of this world cannot satisfy us. We've seen the disaster of lust. We've seen all that lust is. And the object of Amnon's lust wasn't even real. It was a fantasy. What he lusted after was not Tamar. What he lusted after was created by his own wicked heart, and it can never be satisfied because it doesn't even exist. That's how lust is. But now, let's consider the risk of lust. I'm not going to get very far in this, but we'll at least touch upon it. The risk of lust. When a person deceives themselves and has as the object of their desire and their heart anything or anyone outside of God, they're willing to do for that temporary thing what God has created to do, all of us to do for Him. We're to lose our lives for Him. We're to cancel our agenda for Him. We're to be crucified with Christ. We're to forsake everything and follow Him. One focus, one desire, Christ. But lust will do that to people. Lust will make a person forsake everything. Think of Esau. He sold his birthright and lost his soul for a bowl of lentil soup. Think of Lot's wife. Just for one more taste of Sodom, she lost her soul. Think of Judas Iscariot. For 30 pieces of silver, he got a little praise and a little fame. And then he threw out that money because it was blood money, and he killed himself and lost his soul. For what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whatever you are seeking, it's not worth your soul. And it will never satisfy you. And yet people are willing to risk everything, everything, for the object of their desire. It says in verse 2 that Amnon was so vexed, he was so fixated on this fantasy that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. He didn't even know her. And yet he was fixated on her. Understand that Amnon is willing to break the Mosaic law that forbids him from having his sister. He's willing to put his future kingdom on the line. He's risking the very throne of Israel. This is David's firstborn son. What a great risk people take. Somebody will have a marriage for 20, 30 years, and they'll get a thought about someone that's going to satisfy them, and they forget about the children that they've had, the time with their spouse, all of the people that it could affect, and for one quick night of pleasure, they throw everything away. This is what is happening. This is why our society is unraveling. Because people are tantalized by fantasies that cannot deliver. They'll never deliver. Only Christ can deliver. And so there's this risk that people take. We say with Asaph, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Can you say that tonight? Well, that's all that we have for tonight. Next week we'll learn about the friend of lust. We'll learn about Jonadab, Amnon's cousin. There's always somebody there that's going to try to encourage you to sin. We've got to be very careful about the friends that we keep. Even those that who profess to be brothers in Christ. There are many wolves among the sheep. And there are many people who call themselves your friend who are really your enemy and God's enemy. But we'll talk about that next week.